everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 43. What we're going to talk about today is, I've entitled it, A Legacy of Indebtedness, Servitude, and Poverty. Not the most exciting of topics today, but it's one that is heavy up on my heart. There's recently been a few things that come up that has made me re-look at the problems that we are seeing in our economy and some of the indebtedness that we have, and it has reawakened my interest in the idea and has directed me again to look at the consequences of our debt. And certainly, as we'll talk about in just a moment, we are leaving a legacy of servitude, of poverty, and of indebtedness to the next generation because of our debt. So we're going to talk about that, but I'm going to hopefully be able to provide some encouragement at the end with some solutions. So stay tuned for that. But before we look at that, I want to direct you to some of the updates. Make sure that you, if you haven't yet, register as a user on the website. You can do that on the right column. That enables you to be updated by email when we put out new posts, both podcasts, video posts, those kinds of things. Also follow us and share us on various social medias, on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube. And then also, if you like this show, I ask that you consider becoming a Legacy Partner in our Legacy Partner program. That's $30 a year, $3 a month. Or you can, and that will enable you to get into our exclusive only members pages that right now has a discount to Grow Veg. It has a grow chart in there on help you plan out your garden. And then it also has a debt snowball program in there and then allows you to help support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So if you think the show is worth 25 cents or more, then I encourage you to be one of the legacy partners and support the show that way. That takes care of the intro segment. So let's go ahead now and talk about the indebtedness of the U.S. government and what that has resulted in. All right, so what I want to do is I want to look at to what extent is this a problem, the indebtedness of our nation. And then I want to look at some of the causes for this indebtedness, and then also some of the solutions. Now, in order to set the context for our situation today, I want us to go back in history to the time of Nehemiah. This is during the time, of course, before Christ, and when the people of Israel, after the Babylonian captivity, had been set free to go back under the Persian Empire and rebuild Jerusalem. And they run into a challenge as a result of the economic difficulties that they are facing. And this is how it's described. And you tell me if there are some similarities between their time and our time and what is going on. It says, there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, let us get grain that we may eat and live. There were also some who said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine. So, in other words, first of all, one of the things was is that there was a famine, and as a result of the famine, the prices were really, really high. And because the prices were really, really high, in order for them to live, many of them had to mortgage whatever assets that they had. So this is, although the inflation was brought on because of different reasons, here they are having to go into debt in order to pay for various things. Now, we're going to talk about how the wages in America have basically been pretty steady, whereas the cost of government has increased steadily, and the amount of assets that people have had has only increased only as a percentage of that. So let's go on. Verse 4 of chapter 5 of Nehemiah then says, there were also those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And indeed, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have been brought into slavery. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. So they're in such a horrible state that they are having to sell their children into slavery because of their indebtedness. And it doesn't seem as though there's any way out. They are in a situation where they are in such dire strait that their children are having to be put into bondage, put into servitude because of their indebtedness. Verse 6, it says, "And I became very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. After a serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, 'Each of you is exacting usury from his brothers.' So I called the great assembly against them, and I said to them, 'According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold into the nation. Now, indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us?' Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Then I said, 'What you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please, let us stop this usury. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses. Also a hundredth of the money of the grain and the new wine and the oil that they have charged them.' So they said, 'We will restore it and will require nothing from them, and we will do it as you say.' Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, 'So may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied.' And all the assembly said, 'Amen,' and praised the Lord. And the people did according to the promise." So Nehemiah was strong enough and bold enough to be able to come before the leaders of the nation and say, "Look, you are causing our children and our descendants after us to be brought into poverty and to be brought into slavery, brought into servitude and destitution because of your policies, because of what you are doing." And I am afraid that we are in a similar situation today in our country where our personal liberties are being lost, our resources are being squandered, our assets are being taken away, our money is being devalued, and we are in a situation where unless something changes drastically, and I don't foresee any of that happening, as I'll get to in a moment, but unless something changes drastically, our children are going to inherit a debt that is overwhelming. And I want to kind of put this into perspective now by looking at the debt clock. And the debt clock is, you can find it on... Okay, you can find the debt clock online. I've got an actual iPhone app for it, and it's just staggering when you look at the amount of debt that our country owes. And I'm looking at it right now, and it's at $15,733,000,429,000,000. I can't read the thousands because it's going so fast. In fact, I will tell you that now... we're at 600, 700,000, 800,000, 900,000, a million more, 1,100,000, 1,200,000. So you can see how fast our debt is increasing. It's increasing at an astronomical rate, and that's our debt. You see, we're not even paying off the interest on our debt. And if you want to kind of put this into perspective, this averages out to $45,000 per person in the United States. $45,000 is what each person owes. So you add up how many people you have in your family, that's how much money per person is owed. There's no possible way we're going to be able to pay this. We are selling our children into slavery and into bondage. If our debt was paid off at a rate of $100 million a day, it would take 431 years to pay it off. And that does not include interest. So I know interest rates are really, really low right now, which is one of our only saving graces. If they go up, we're going to be in disaster mode. But if you exclude interest, $100 million a day being paid off, it'd take 431 years. To put it into perspective, that's, well, let's see. It's two, I can't even read how many fast. Okay, it's going so fast here. It's, well, it's 491 million SUVs. It's 58 million homes. It's 50,000 jumbo jets. That's how big this debt is. If you lined up those jets, you could reach the space station 9.95 times. It's just astronomical. And so we are in a situation in our country that cannot be ignored. And yet I'm afraid that too many in government, too many in our own population is not seeing the challenge that is before us with this debt. And so, you know, the real problem is that, there's no effort at reining in the spending. As I mentioned on that debt clock, and here it goes again. Now we're at 437 million, 600,000, 700,000. You see, it keeps going up and up and up. And the problem is that our government isn't shrinking. They're continuing to grow the debt each year. They can't even balance the budget now, much less try to reduce the budget. All the budget attempts that are out there, except for Ron Paul's, actually increased the spending. When they talk about a budget cut, they don't really mean a budget cut. They mean a cut on the growth of spending. And then they give all these things that we're going to cut it over 10 years. They're not going to cut it over 10 years. You know what they do? They say they're going to cut it over 10 years, but by that time, they're no longer in election. And the next people that come in, they can do whatever they want, and they end up increasing spending. So it does not work. And they have got us into a situation, our leaders have got us into a situation where our children are being raised up in an environment where they are going to be servants to the government in ways that we can't even really quite comprehend. It's a ticking time bomb with the interest rates so low. I mentioned earlier one of our saving graces is the interest rates are so low, but at the same time, that just means it's a ticking time bomb. So right now, we're not able to manage a balanced budget with the interest rates at historical low levels. So let's suppose that the interest rates start creeping up. And over the next 5 years, the interest rates actually double, which is still, the interest rates then would still be historically low. But if that were to double, that means our interest rates would, our interest rate would double in the amount of interest that we owe on our loans as a government would also double. And that would put us over the top. We would not be able to pay. So it's a ticking time bomb. And it's also a ticking time bomb because right now, one of the saving graces besides the low interest rates is that the U.S. dollar, ever since the 1970s, has been the reserve currency, meaning that it was also agreed that the dollar would be the means of exchange for oil. And so any country that needs oil has to exchange their dollars for U.S. dollars and then buy the oil in the U.S. dollars. And then the other country then takes those U.S. dollars, converts them back to their currency. And so people all over the world need our dollar. But let's suppose that they decide no longer are they going to use the dollar as a means of exchange for oil, and they're going to do it on themselves. In fact, just recently in the news, you can look it up, but just recently in the news, Japan and China made a unilateral agreement that they were going to exchange oil between themselves in their own currencies. And so when that happens, fewer and fewer countries are going to want the U.S. dollar. And when fewer and fewer people country want U.S. dollar, those dollars start coming back to us. And as a result of that, our interest rates, in order for people to buy our treasury bills, are going to have to go up. And of course, when they go up, that means that the economic outlook in our country is going to go down. So I say all that to say this. The extent of our problem is that there is going to be some kind of default. It's inevitable. There's no possible way that we can continue on without having some kind of default. Now, there's really two ways that it can happen. The one is that there could be a default through massive amounts of inflation, Argentinian-style inflation, where a loaf of bread may cost thousands of dollars. And, you know, that would be horrific. You can read stories about between World War I and World War II in Weimar Germany, how because of the hyperinflation, housewives would take their wheelbarrows down to the office when their husband got paid to get all this cash so that they could wheelbarrow the cash down to the grocery store and buy the groceries before the groceries prices went up higher than what they could buy. That's massive amounts of inflation. We've never experienced that in our country, and God forbid that we should experience it. And yet that seems to be the direction that we are heading as a nation because of our out-of-control spending and our out-of-control deficit. And so massive amounts of inflation is one possible outlook that we can have. Another is a resetting of the currency. It may be to where before we actually encounter this massive inflation like this, that there will be a resetting of the currency. In other words, Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve and, you know, the people who are in power over money will decide that they can't continue to print at this pace. They can't continue to have inflation at this price. So what they will do is they will then reset the money and reclaim a certain amount, just as you know, you might reset scores if they get too high, or reset a car's odometer when it hits a certain level. You can reset that. That's what they're going to do with our money. And so those are two options that can happen. Of course, the best option would be that they actually curtail the spending. We go into incredible amounts of austerity, and we bring back some kind of sanity to our government and to our spending, and we actually come out of this better. But the chances of our government officials having the kind of fortitude necessary to make those kinds of decisions is slim to none. And so it's likely that we're either going to have massive inflation or we're going to have a resetting of the currency. And so what has caused this problem? Well, I've made mention to it on a couple of occasions already, but first of all, is out of control spending by the federal government. This is as a result of international affairs and wars, and also an increase in the amount of liabilities that they have, and so here I'm going to put in the show notes a chart that shows the increase in spending from 1970 to 2010. It also has, in comparison to that, the median household income. And the median household income has increased from 1970 to 2010 from $41,000 to $51,000, almost $10,000 over that 40-year period. Now, on the other hand, federal spending has increased from 1970 of $926 billion to in 2010, $3.6 trillion. It has grown 287.5% compared to 24.2% of the median household income. And so our government has skyrocketed out of control in its spending. And that has resulted in this indebtedness that we are now experiencing. And part of the reason for this is that too much power has been given to Congress. We have allowed our representatives, who are to supposedly uphold the Constitution, to run run right over the Constitution and to ignore it and to take little consideration for it in their policies, but instead have focused on what they might be able to give to their constituents. And so they have channeled taxpayer money, channeled debt created money into various projects, various fundings, various benefits programs, into various states and localities. And as a result of that, have increased the spending to record levels. And it's all because Congress has been given too much power and has not been reined in under the confines of the Constitution. The Federal Reserve has also been a part of this from 1913 to today. As I have mentioned on earlier podcasts, the dollar has inflated. The value of the dollar, that's a better way to put it, the value of the dollar has decreased to the point where it has lost 97% of its value since 1913. That's a result of the Federal Reserve's interaction in the monetary policy, preventing sound money and sound currency from taking place in our country. And of course, a lot of this has occurred since 1970, which is what this chart shows. And so they're supposed to be the lender of last resort, but they end up monetizing the debt. They end up manipulating the currency to where the interest rates are artificially low, which causes an imbalance in the amount of money that is available to banks, which then causes an imbalance in the amount of money that is available to consumers and entrepreneurs. And as a result of that, we have the fiasco that we're in now, where there is just a time bomb waiting to happen. And then I think another reason that another cause for this problem is leaving the gold standard. This was our only means of keeping a rein upon the federal government spending. When you're on a gold standard, the king or the president or Congress, whoever it might be, has very little power to be able to change the value of money and spend its way out of every situation. And although we read in history of kings who have taken their money and debased it by, you know, rubbing off some of the sides of it and keeping some of that gold for later, and so they have debased the currency in some way, when there is a gold standard such as there's been in the United States, all during the 1800s, there was a monetary base that was a silver or gold standard. It was only until 1913 that we began to bring in the Federal Reserve that began to change, and then even more so in the 1930s under Roosevelt in the war. The gold standard was set aside for the most part, except for the exchange when it came to nationalities and different countries exchanging their money for gold. And then in the 1970s under Nixon, we totally left all aspects of the gold standard. And of course, since then, gold has skyrocketed and the value of our dollar has decreased so significantly that now we are in the situation that we are in. So I don't want to leave with such bad news. I want to be able to give some kind of encouragement, some kind of hope for us. What can we do individually? What can we do as a society? What can we do as citizens? What can we do as Christians to be able to try to work our way out of such a dilemma so that our children are not left into poverty, so that our children are not left paying the bills of hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes and or debased currency to where we can't buy anything foreign or domestic. And so what should we do? Well, I think the first and most basic and most important thing is to get your own personal finances in order. In other words, get yourself out of debt. Make sure that you've got a cushion, an emergency fund. Make sure that you are taking all the necessary steps in your financial plan to become financially independent. And if you want to know what those 10 basic steps are, you can look at an earlier episode, and I'll put show notes in there on the 10-step financial program that I have developed that enables you to walk through different steps and become financially independent through that. If you're not doing those, then that's the first step. First thing you can do that without the assistance of the government by any means, or even, you know, making your own decisions to do that. And then secondly, don't vote for the status quo, whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't have a good choice. And if we don't have a good choice, don't just default to one or the other. Don't vote or write somebody in. We've got to be able to take positions. And, you know, I'm not wholeheartedly sold out to the Tea Party. But at the same time, I see the Tea Party has started to raise the issue of this debt and the burden that is being placed upon next generation as a result of this incredible deficit that we keep running up higher and higher and higher with every second. And so we can't waste our vote by voting for the people who are going to continue in this program. And, you know, I don't want to get too political here, but I'm going to get political anyway. And that is that, you know, in our presidential election, it looks like it's going to be between Obama and Romney. And both of them will increase the deficit. Neither one of them is going to do anything really substantial to lower the debt or the deficit unless what they have been campaigning on drastically changes once they are elected. And so we need to be vocal about providing a real choice and to be able to make some real difference. And then thirdly, educate yourself. Educate yourself on the economy so that you can see the warning signs. Educate yourself so that you know what is happening. Educate yourself so that you will be able to tell others and educate them, and that you know, we can maybe provide enough people who have common sense and understanding regarding these situations to where it will not affect us as much as it would otherwise. And so I want to put again in the show notes a link to the Mises Institute at Mises.org, and you'll find all kinds of articles, all kinds of downloadable PDFs, all kinds of books, all kinds of audios and podcasts and lecture series and books on tape and everything else dealing with the economy, dealing with liberty, dealing with personal rights and properties, and all of which will be able to help us to become educated when it comes to sound money and good monetary policy. And then number four, we need to fight peaceably. I say fight peacefully or fight peaceably because I'm not one of those who wants to wage war. I think we need to have non-aggressive type petitions and non-aggressive type reactions to this. And so we can assemble, we can picket, we can do all kinds of ways of fighting against this, and probably the best way is through education. And so just like I'm doing here with this podcast, just like you can read on many other blogs and you can hear on various other kinds of media, people who are standing up and saying enough is enough. It's time that we reclaim our nation, that we reclaim the currency, that we reclaim the actions of free and independent people, and that we are able to cast off the burden, the yoke that has been placed upon us by this out of control spending and reckless government. And so another thing that we can do, and of course this maybe should have been placed first, is that we can pray. If we go back to the passage that I read in Nehemiah chapter 5, and Nehemiah called out to the Lord and called upon the people and cried out to them and said, enough is enough. We've got to stop this. And that's what we should cry out to the Lord. Say, Lord, we have sinned. We have gotten ourselves into a mess. Forgive us and deliver us. Enable us to taste the bitter medicine so that we might be made well. And then finally, teach your children to be independent. There is most likely going to be a day where the government services are at a minimum, whether that is because they are forced to be at a minimum because they have no money, or whether it's because there's been a restructuring, there's been a change in the government, there's been a new regime that is determined to limit the size and scope of the government. And as a As such, it is important that we, as Christians particularly, that we teach our children to be independent of the state, that we teach them to be self-reliant, that we teach them to be able to trust in the Lord and to attend to their own business so that they might be able to stand through the tests economically, the downturns, and to still be able to do what is right and good in the midst of those. So I hope this has not been too gloomy, but it is supposed to be eye-opening, and hopefully it has been able to open our eyes or at least prick some interest within us to research further the devastating realities of our deficit and our national debt. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? Just one life.